12 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. I'm doing fine. It's sunny and warm, and I think spring has sprung in California.
Good deal. Good deal. We're having spring over here on the East Coast, too. It's remarkable.
Really?
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago in Hawaii, they had hail, actually, believe it or not. So we're getting some very, very strange weather. But I'll take it. The warm weather is always wonderful.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. I know you're heading out very soon. You're heading to France, right?
Yeah, we'll be doing the show from Europe. That'll
that
be exciting.
Cool. That
yeah.
just sounds cool.
It's going to be really cool.
Broadcasting live from the Eiffel Tower.
I'll actually be going through Paris, and then I'll be going to southern France. So we'll be down on the southern France, and maybe some a little bit in Italy, depending on how the schedule goes. So it's going to be nice. Yeah,
very
and I'm
cool.
not sure. I'm not sure how to prepare for the weather there because the weather's so iffy everywhere right now. So I guess I'll take a little bit of everything.
And then I think, well, let's see now. And then in May or June, I understand that you may be heading back over toward Hawaii way. Is that right?
Sure, sure. Are you gonna come over too sometime? You and Monica?
We are. It looking like yeah, we're gonna maybe be back there in June for an undetermined amount of time.
Wonderful, wonderful. That'll
we
be
don't
great.
Know what that
That'll
means
be a
yet,
lot of fun. I know what that means. That means you're moving, huh? No, no. That's a wonderful thing with Hawaii. You know, you can go come and go. Lots of people do that and
yep.
stay for months at a time. Yep. It just works, and thank God for the internet. We can all do that.
Well, so, you and I are of course part of what we're doing. Of course, you have your brokerage and your business still in Hawaii, and we are literally talking about expanding this program to some radio stations possibly on the islands, and as a part of course your network over
yeah.
there. So that's part of what I'll be doing is getting that up and running over there, and then so we could both be doing the show from the islands here soon.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I wanted to mention is anybody that needs networking, it's not just in the United States. We can network in other countries and other areas. So that's, you know, we have a lot of people that are all over the place. So you can actually, if anybody wants to buy or sell in other areas in the world, it's getting smaller and smaller. So we can always work through someone else in the network to introduce somebody to somebody else in another area. So it's pretty exciting.
Mm.
It's very, very exciting.
Well,
and
phone number, let me give the phone number before we jump in today, 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. Or you can email me. A short email address is zach@maui.net, zach@maui.net. If you've got a question and maybe you can't call in a question or a comment, I'll be checking my iPhone here throughout the show. And what we typically do if you're a new listener, and by the way, I checked our stats again, we continue to gain listenership, and I know that's through the Blog Talk Radio Network, people listening primarily to the archived shows. I think that's where a lot of programs heading that way toward the podcast/archived show approach, but we're kind of old-fashioned in that regard. We like to do the live thing And of course,
but you know, it makes it so much easier these days because then people can download it and they can listen to it on their iPod or when they're jogging or working out or, you know, it just makes life easier. So, you know, you don't. It just makes it easier instead of having to be available that time for the whole hour.
Absolutely.
So, it's fun. It's always fun. You can go through and you can look up the titles and go back and see a little bit about what you want to go through. So we're always going to keep them up. So that's fun, too. And, yeah, so basically what I was going to go over today, we were just going to do our first half on real estate, second half on self-help, some spiritual issues. And, of course, this is election year coming up, huh? We're coming up upon it, aren't we? So we're having... We're having so many things happening. And, you know, people say to me, what do you think about the markets right now? They seem to be doing well. And I say, well, it seems like they always look like they're doing well anytime we're coming into an election year. You know, I mean, basically.
So
what we were going to go over just is a little bit about how our menu programs work, where you can go through us to get in contact with people anywhere to be able to utilize the programs. Affiliates are in the United States, but we also have people we work with in other areas, so it doesn't hurt to send us your information. And basically it's better to go through the website, not phone calls, because it just takes it's really clogs up the lines to be able to expedite things for you. And just going over a little bit about, like, a lot of people are wondering what to do with their monies these days. Of course, you and some people don't have any money to do anything with, and some have plenty to do things with. So, of course, you discuss it with your financial advisor. Our programs are geared to assist you to get into the process and then give back, give you rebates and credits back for your work. Same thing as if you're a seller, you can save a lot of money through the programs. And some people just want to pack and move on their way, and we can offer that as well. So, but I've noticed a lot of people like to stay local in their areas. Now, when you're buying a property that you're going to live in, of course, you want to do your research and buy specifically in your area. But there's a lot of areas around the country that you can really get good deals right now. For example, Florida, Las Vegas, you know, Detroit, Michigan. I don't know how many people want to purchase anything in Detroit, Michigan, but that is an area where there's a lot of deals. So you may want to open your horizon and start investigating other areas to invest in. In Hawaii, we call it a hui when a few people get together to invest together in something. And that may be another option, too, you know, something to look at. Because I know a lot of people right now seem to be, well, I don't want to just make it generalized, because it really depends on how much money they have, what they're doing, where they are in their life. But a lot of people seem to be afraid to spend money right now. And, you know, if you're doing it wisely, not putting all your eggs in one basket, it can still work out well for you. We mentioned it on last week's show that the... government seems to be putting a lot of money into housing programs right now for rental housing. So we don't know how long that'll last, but at least for the interim, if you buy on the lower end price-wise, where you can always rent it out, seems like a safer proposition. I always think that's a good idea, too. You know, when you're looking at investment properties, typically somebody wants to make about a 10% rate of return on their money. In Hawaii, when we used to find it, you know, if you were making 5 or 6%, that was really a good rate of return. But on the average, you really want to make about 10%, you know. And so there's a lot of creative things you can do right now. And I think with the way the loans are going, we've had some money loosen up. The interest rates are so low. I mean, it's amazing to see under 4% interest rates. I think we're still going to see a lot of creative seller financing come back into the picture if the lenders do not loosen up more, you know. So we've got a lot of programs. Now, there was some large settlements that went through that are supposed to help property owners, homeowners, get reductions on their mortgage interest. We're hearing pros and cons about that right now, how much is coming off of it or not. But so there's quite a lot out there, quite a lot of information out there. You may want to jump on one of our teleseminars You can also email, get on our newsletter list so that you know what's coming up, and just educate yourself. Beautiful thing about, like you just said, with the archives and podcasts is you can download what you want, listen to it in the car, when you're jogging, running, whenever. So that way you're, I think we have so much information overload these days, but at the same time we can stay up to date more, because you can say, okay, I'm only going to listen for that 15 minutes, but I can listen to the rest later. Or, you know, you can replay it in your car. It's kind of, it's really nice that we can do that with everything. So it's, we're definitely not in, you know, as depressed as the markets have seemed, it seems like there's movement, quite a lot of movement in places. And some markets are doing pretty well. When I say markets, real estate markets, from where they were, it's still definitely a buyer's market in the majority areas, unless you're in, you know, just a very, very high-end exclusive area where everybody's just moving along. But even some, it depends on where you are, but even most high-end areas have come down some too. Mm. So,
I have a question. I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Oh, please ask a bunch of questions.
Okay. I've got, cause you just mentioned, and this is related and sort of, and really is, because, I am, as you know, every week I take notes because, as you also know, I'm kind of a frustrated, real estate mogul myself, you know, thinking that, I think I learn stuff and then I know I need to learn so much more. I remember when, working with you back, on Oahu a few years back and doing some open houses and some condos, and I, trust me on this, I'm going somewhere. These days, do you
know?
That
was a while ago, wasn't it? Like 05 or something? Yeah, or 06. Or maybe, somewhere around there.
And I remember doing the open houses and being blown away. That was my first kind of experience with sort of what a, you know, how small some of those condos in Hawaii.
Yeah.
People say, how can I get just something to own in Hawaii, right? How, you know, what is a condo? What's like a inexpensive condo? And do you know if the prices on condos? I know the values are going down. I talked to a realtor friend on Maui when we were back there, and she said that she bought hers for $350, and it's now valued at I think under $100. I mean, her value on Maui, and she said there were frankly on Maui about 800 foreclosures about to be released that were in the kind of in the pipeline.
She just told you this now?
Yeah, this was about a month ago or so when we were back there. And so the values are down, but I guess the good news is there that for people who are, you know, first-time buyers or wanting to buy again, the prices then must reflect that, and you must be able to get into a condo in Hawaii or really other places for a whole lot less. I mean, that principle kind of applies across the board.
Yeah, it does. You know, Oahu seems to hold its own a little bit more price-wise because you have so many people that live on Oahu full-time, and then you have a lot of people that will buy the condos and they vacation rental them out if they're zoned properly. So they can stay pretty well booked. Maui, which is such a beautiful island, tends to have a lot of people there that do not live full time. You know, when you look at when you compare, you know, over a million people on Oahu to 200,000 on Maui. So there's a lot of people that aren't there full time, and I think what's happened is what I've seen on Maui. In Maui, you can get steal of deals, literally, in single family homes that you can buy for $700,000 that would have been, you know, $1.5 million to $2 million. 4 or 5 years ago, and that's not an exaggeration. But I think what's happened on Maui with the economy going down in the U.S., basically, because people, of course, buy in Hawaii from all over the world, I think in Maui we tended to see a lot of people were buying their third, fourth, fifth home type of thing, you know, situation coming in from other parts of the world. So when the economy started getting down, those are the first places that people want to get rid of, right? They're not going to get rid of their principal residence or maybe their second home. So I think that's what it seems like's happened a lot over there from what I could see. Also, a lot of people were in the industries that kind of went down a little bit, and then they had to go too. So, yes, you're right. Across the board, it's gone down, but I think Oahu's held its own value-wise more. And even though prices have come down, but they haven't sunk down unless you're in certain certain parts of the island have gone down, like Makaha maybe has gone down considerably. Eva Beach has gone down considerably. But for the most part, when you're looking on Oahu, like Kailua, Hawaii Kai, Diamond Head, Kahala, you know, it's gone down, but not like Maui or like some areas, you know. So, and then the Big Island, depends on where you are as well, same thing, and it's gone down a lot. So, yeah, you can still get quite a lot. You can get quite a lot. You always want to make sure, be really, really careful that when you buy a condo on the islands, make sure that you're getting, make sure the zoning is what you want. So if you're looking for a vacation rental that you want to rent out and capitalize that way, you want to make sure that it's actually zoned for vacation rentals. You know, be careful because somebody can tell you, well, I've been doing it for years, but it's not, maybe it isn't zoned that way. So you don't want to buy something and then find out you can't do it. They've really been cracking down on vacation rentals on the islands for the last, quite a while, 5-6+ years. And so you want to make sure that the zoning is in place. Don't just, you know, sometimes somebody may throw something up on a website and say, hey, you know, I'll sell the business with it. And then you come to find out it's not zoned for vacation rentals, or some of the condos maybe will have a minimum of, you know, have to rent it out at least for a month. It could be 3 months. Vacation rental would be, you know, nightly, right, basically. It can vary. It can vary. You know, there are some vacation rentals where they say more of a longer-term vacation rental, but you just want to make sure that all that's in writing and you're covered with the zoning office. Don't just trust somebody telling you it is, or even just make sure you're covered that way. So, yeah, there's a lot of good deals. The condo fees now, that's something else you want to check into, because the condo fees may be high. And so you have to figure that into your budget if you're going to do this as an investment and get a good rate of return. You can Google. I mean, if you want to play around yourself, you can just Google for, you know, how to work out the rate of returns, and it'll show you the formula, how to figure out, you know, what you're going to. It's so cool with the Internet, isn't it? I mean, in years ago, we had to teach everybody every little step of everything. Now they can just go, oh, how do you do a rate of return, and Google it and figure it out, you know? But these are things you want to figure in, because condo fees are very high in the islands compared to some states. And, you know, I say this generally, but I've seen it. And so you want to check that out. You want to see how many units are in the development. So, you know, if it's 500 units or if it's 100 units, you want to find out what reserves are in their condo fees, what reserves are in there for the roofs, you know, the maintenance, how old are the buildings. You know, we have minimums that the states always require for reserves. But you just want to do your homework when you go in, because you might go, wow, this condo is $80,000. Oh, my God, what a steal. It's $80,000. And you want to make sure it's fee simple. If it's leasehold, you want to make sure you could purchase the fee, or is it a leasehold that might be 40 years out? And if you're 70, you might not care about that. I mean, you want to look at every aspect, so that sometimes these deals that seem so good to be true are, and sometimes they're not, right? So if you're picking up something and it's under 100, but your fees are 800 a month, and they only have, you know, 50 units, and the roofs are looking bad, and they're going to have to be redone, and they don't have a lot, you know, they have to have minimum in reserves, minimum state requirements. Mm. But so do you see how, like, every single thing can be wonderful, but you just got to check it out, you know?
Yeah.
Do your homework. You know, we have local brokers and agents that can help you with that, too. So, it's pretty but I really think, my God, there's so many steals out right now. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Well, yeah, we're looking at possibly trying to buy something over there when we head back, and thinking about that very thing. And, you know, and this applies, of course, to people who either live on Hawaii or are thinking about investing and doing the back and forth, but also people that, you know, want to figure out a way to go back there regularly. I was at a banquet the other day talking to people who bought a timeshare. And I don't know about you, and maybe you can enlighten us, and I'm not familiar. I've never been to a presentation, you know, despite all the people that, you know, you're in walking along Lahaina there in the tourist area. Those barkers, you know, and people give you all these free things to go to this timeshare deal. But I was talking to a lady the other day who said that the timeshare, she's got like three of them. And I think annually for each one, what do you call it? Like you say, the fee.
The maintenance fees.
Maintenance fees are.
Are what? Did we lose you, Randy? Hey, Randy. I think we'll be right back. Sounds like we got cut out.
All right, I am back. Are you there? Hey, Natalie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay,
I can hear you. Yeah, because we lost you out into outer space.
I'll go back in and edit that part. So
okay.
All right.
No, sounds great. You were asking about the condos. We were talking about maintenance fees. Oh, you were bringing up timeshares, and you said that somebody told you that their maintenance fees could be very high as well, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it's a great deal because they're also very expensive. And couldn't you just really get a condo and rent it out?
Now, because I've been in real estate for more than a quarter century, 20-sucks plus years, you know, I really believe in buying them. But if somebody is interested in timeshares, we can actually put you in touch with some people. And I know some fabulous people on Maui that actually we've helped sell their properties, and they're actually in the timeshare business, you know, and they do amazingly well. They're still doing well, even in the tighter economy. So personally, me, I don't like the timeshare concept as much, but for some people it works beautifully well if they want to travel around the world and if they have, you know, they block out their time. So there are some people, and it seems like from when I spoke with the friends that we know that are in the business in Maui on about timeshare, they seem to get a lot of people in from Japan and other areas. So I don't want to knock it because there certainly is a huge market. From what I understand, people can, you know, they can sell it, although I hear it's usually hard to resell their timeshares. But I know they can swap things in other areas, swap vacation and time with other people. So I think there's benefits to timeshares. But I've heard what you've said, too. I've heard friends and other people complain that they've got to pay the maintenance fees. I've actually been offered timeshares myself at discounted rates to stay somewhere because people said, hey, if you want to do that, I'll give you a better rate because it'll go towards my maintenance fees, you know. So, but it's something to check into. I'm not really into the timeshare market at all. For me, it would be hard to sell something like that because I like the tangible thing that you can touch. But so I hear what you're saying. But, yeah, that's something to look at. But there are some people that, you know, it depends what you have to pay because they can be quite expensive. And then, again, it depends on where you are and if you figure out how the system works with how they block out times and where they use it, you may find that it's beneficial to you. So we would actually need to do a segment, which may make sense to have one of our friends on as a guest speaker about timeshares, because I do think that there may be a market for that, for people that, want a different life, you know, they're looking for just their vacation lifestyle type of thing, you know?
Not so much.
So that may be, you know, but that's a good point, though, that, yeah, people don't realize there's a lot of other fees involved. What we were discussing about Maui with the condos and the maintenance fees and make sure the zoning's in place, that is anywhere you're going to buy a condo, anywhere you're going to vacation rental, and actually anywhere in the world that you want to do anything with a property. Whether if you're going to run a business, make sure you have the business zoning in there. It's nothing worse than to buy something and find out you can't do what you thought you were going to do. So that applies to every single piece of property you buy. You may buy something in a residential area. I have a perfect example. We just had something settled that on a larger parcel, but that they can't 20-some acres, they can't divide the land, they can't build on the land, they could never, I mean, other than the house that's there, they can't, they couldn't add even a tenant house, family house, they couldn't put a garage up, a barn, you know, on this additional land, and it's 20-some extra acres. So, you know, you always want to make sure that you're checking it out. That's all. It's almost like, you know, we should do a checklist of questions for people, because it's the buyer beware is still there, you know.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, there's a lot of deals, but there's a, but you know, when I'm looking at like, it's like 4% interest rate, like that's like, seems like free
wow.
money. I mean,
wow.
so, you know, if you can get the loan or get the money, or if you have, you know, you just want to look at what your situation is, I think. So
yeah,
we kind of,
when all else fails, there's that, that area along the beach going to Lahaina where you can camp out for a week. And then you just rotate campsites, so, you know.
Oh, I never saw that. I've always seen it, like Lahaina. I'm like down the strip, and I've always, where's the campsite? I'm like always in the hotel.
As you're heading like out of Malaya Harbor there, around that point, heading up toward Lahaina on the left, there's these campsites, and sure enough, you can like move to different campsites, and so I've noticed that in driving back and forth, seeing. Seeing different, the same vehicles there, you know, week in and week out, and they kind of, it's tantamount to kind of a homeless camp.
Oh, that's sad. I mean, that's sad if the homeless part is going on, you know. That's
the other thing I saw when we were coming, last time coming down through from Kapalua and all that down back into Lahaina, we saw on the, there are a bunch of, out from Lahaina, there are a bunch of these, basically kind of like a marina, but it's just a bunch of boats, maybe 100 yards offshore, and they're moored there, and people live there. And
yeah, a lot of people. Yeah.
Zoning for that. If you have a boat, you can pull it up to like within 100 yards of shore, drop the anchor, live there. Interesting. I thought, wow, that's so that's the, maybe that's the answer. You know, but then
not for me, but maybe for some people. Yeah. Well, some people love the to be on the water all the time. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I
like
yeah.
Tierra Firma under me there. Absolutely.
Huh?
I like Tierra Firma under me. I don't like the rocking back and forth
Mm-mm.
on the boat thing, you know.
Mm-mm.
Hey, it's about time to take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, this hour flew by. Let's take a break. On the other side, we'll reconnect. The fun thing about doing this show is you and I, because of our schedules, sometimes don't connect during the week, and we have no idea what's going on in the second half. We each have to want to bring to the table, and so I'll touch.
I guess I'll hear
you.
That from you on the break.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back again. The phone number 347-945-5428, 347-945-5428, Realty Universal Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Michael Hyatt, professional blogger and public speaker. I'm also the chairman of Thomas Nelson Publishers, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and a Sunday school teacher. I often get asked, how do you get it all done? Two words, life plan. Sadly, I've met very few people who have a plan for their life. Most are passive spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. They may plan their careers, the building of a new home, or even a vacation, but it never occurs to them to plan their life. This is why so many people end up discouraged, disillusioned, and wondering what went wrong. The good news is that it doesn't have to be that way. You can live your life on purpose starting today by going to michaelhyatt.com/life plan. There's three reasons why you need a life plan. Number one, it will give you clarity about where your life is headed. Number two, it'll keep you in balance when things get crazy. Number three, it'll give you peace of mind knowing that you're addressing those aspects of your life that matter the most. Creating your personal life plan is not so much an ebook as it is a life planning experience. In the book, I'll take you through a visualization exercise that will give you enormous clarity on what matters most. A 5-step program for identifying where you are now and how to get from here to where you want to be. A weekly and quarterly process for keeping your life on plan and moving in the direction of your highest priorities. 2 planning templates, a Word document, and a separate Excel document that will make it easier for you to create your plan and keep it up to date. You can't buy creating a personal life plan in a bookstore. You can't even buy it on the internet. There's only one way to get it, by subscribing to my free email newsletter. All you need to do is go to michaelhyatt.com/life plan and sign up for my free email updates. I'll then immediately email you the download link to this amazing free resource. Don't wait. You can start the Life Plan Adventure today. Experience the power of living your life on purpose.
Realty Universal Radio, again, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I've been in radio 35 years, and this hour flies. Believe me, I've done some talk shows over the years where all I could do is stare at the clock and hope the time, you know, sped up.
I think that means I talk too much. Okay.
Well, not on this one. I'm saying this one flies by. In the real, I think we get the first half and the spiritual kind of side that we kind of bring in the second half, it's good stuff. And we kind of conferred during the break, and I am going to go ahead and share a little bit, and then Natalie, absolutely chime in here.
Yes, sir.
There's a guy, Michael Hyatt, that I follow on Twitter, and he's the CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, which is a major publishing company. And so you can imagine, pretty articulate, pretty you know, when he writes things, he writes them well. And he wrote out, he had a tweet this morning that I actually printed off and I talked about on my other radio show this morning. I do a morning show in California, here in Central California, live with my wife early mornings here. And we talked about it for an hour in between songs. But the title of his tweet was Steps Toward Becoming, Being a Happy Person That Others Want to Be Around. Talked about how the reason that he kind of thought this through, had a meeting with one of his fellow literary agents, and the guy was just negative. Nobody measured up to everything he talked about was negative. So he said the conversation made him feel very comfortable and tried to excuse himself. And as he thought about the interaction with this guy, he thought, man, how destructive complaining about others is. And
right.
So he talked about four things, basically, that hurt you when you're negative and you're complaining and talking about others. And these are real. And then he talks about seven ways to turn it around. And I want to share, and again, we can stop and pause.
No,
on each
go
one
for it.
Briefly, but number one is when you complain about others, it trains your brain. When he talks about when he bought his first Lexus, he had never really noticed Lexus cars before, but suddenly they seem to be everywhere, and it demonstrates the principle that, you know, you see more of what you notice. And if you focus on people's faults, you'll even find more of them. And so you kind of get in this malaise of being negative and seeing everybody's negativity. So that's number one. It trains your brain. Number two, it makes you miserable. It just, you know, you're sarcastic and you're biting and it's toxic. And people kind of want to get away from you, and that's number three. People pull away. So the third effect of being complaining about other people and negative is that people tend to pull away. Healthy people aren't going to want to hang around you, and so they'll find ways to pull away from you. And the fourth one is people, and this is probably the saddest one, consequence, is that people don't trust you. And Michael Hyatt in his article said, you know, as his friend was complaining about other people, he began to wonder, well, what does he say about me when I'm not around?
Really?
And then I instinctively thought, you know, I don't really trust this guy. And so those are four things that when you're negative, and we've all been around those kind of folks. I was with an acquaintance, a kind of a new friend, a guy I've met last year or so over on Maui, and we were there, and we went out to lunch, and the conversation went from why he doesn't go to this certain church anymore to why his soccer coach, why he had to step in and kind of help coach the team because his soccer coach didn't really know what she was doing, and the principal at the school and the teacher had problems with his daughters. And I just sat there for about 20 minutes. Monica started tapping me underneath the table, you know, like, let's go. Let's, you know, because she wanted to get away because, again, I think it's very true what Michael Hyatt said. Toxic, you know, when you're around toxic people and it's just spew,
right?
You healthy people really don't want any part of that, you know, because it affects you.
Well, you know, toxic relationships kill you, right? You're right. They can. It really does. It does affect you. It really does. And you know, that's good points. Go ahead, Randy. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I know you're living that right now again with the situation with your brother and the fallout from toxic relationships and. You know, and how, again.
And I'm like, I don't live in that world. I don't want to be in that world. Let me out of that world. It's not a world for me. But when you have to get involved in some of it, it can be really horrible. You know, they always say when you see people that are extremely healthy, look at, you know, usually very, very healthy people are very positive people overall, you know. And it doesn't mean we always have to be positive. When, you know, we have tragedies, so we can't always be. But for the most part, you know. Yeah, and you're right. Yeah. So I want to hear the rest of this, and the seven tips, too, sound really interesting here.
Yes, well, those negative ones, again, that are pretty obvious when you're a negative and unhappy person, and people tend to, I guess, that's one is people want to pull away and don't want to trust you. But here, he actually talks about an interaction he had with another literary agent friend of his who was very positive and always talked about the great things happening in his life and business, and whenever he mentioned someone else's name, he raved about him. And exuded gratitude, and Michael Hyatt wrote that he didn't want to leave this guy's presence. It was like balm to his soul to be around the spirit of this guy, and it affected him. And he made a kind of contrast as he went away from that meeting with this other guy that he'd been with, and it was the same day, I guess, so it really gave him a stark contrast. And so he thought about it. Here are seven steps to reversing the pattern and becoming a happy person. Others trust and want to be around. And one of them is, the first one is to become self-aware. He asks if you're, you know, ask yourself, are you a negative person? Do you tend to see the glass half empty or glass half full? And I had to say to myself, well, shoot, I consider myself a very positive person, and yet there are certain people in certain situations that I will get on a rant about and spew negativity, and all of a sudden I'm in that, you know, in that sad place. And he says, negativity is costing you more than you really know. He said, it's frankly like having bad breath or BO. So become self-aware, you know, because other people are very aware of your, I guess, your fragrance or your odor, if you will, in that regard. And then number two is assess your needs. And this gets a little psychoanalytical, but what need are you attempting to meet by complaining? Perhaps the need for connection, maybe a need for significance. And are there better, more healthy ways to meet these needs than by being critical of other people? And I think we all human beings kind of fall into that trap of criticizing others ever so slightly, whether they're a competitor in the business world, you know, or whatever. We tend to do that, all of us, to make ourselves look a little better. I was talking to Monica the other day about how in the church world, and we've been pastors before, it seems like in the church world, sadly, even with Christians and other, you know, really great church folks, when there's a parting of the ways between people, there seems to be this need to kind of vilify and demonize the other person.
From a perspective.
It's horrible. And it's bad. You know, you see otherwise spiritual, really good people kind of spewing this negativity, and it gets to be really ugly. And so, you know, what are you trying to do? I think often when we put other people down, you know, our parents told us this when we were little, we're just trying to feel better ourselves. So, you know, if you can't say something positive, you know, don't say it at all. And then the third one, we're talking about seven steps to reversing the negative pattern and becoming a happy person. The third one is to decide to change. You know, complaining is a habit, like all bad habits. You can change them, and it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. Just start being conscious and maybe asking another person, kind of a partner with you in this, you know, to say, hey, when I'm around, you know, if I start to be negative, just, you know, give me some kind of signal and work, you know, and he says, that's something you can start on today. Number four is you can shift your identity. You know, he talks about how when he declared himself an athlete, daily exercise suddenly became easier. You know, what if you said to yourself, I'm positive, encouraging person, how would your behavior change? And again, that gets back to the self-talk that we talk about week in and week out. You know, what is the self-talk that you know, that goes round and round? What are the loops that you allow really in your brain? And that's, I think, an ongoing thing. I was watching
Wayne Dyer over the weekend. He's got another several sets of books and CDs out, and he was on public TV and QVC. He was all over the place, and he talks about the whole idea of, again, self-talk and what are you, you know, what are you allowing thoughts? What thoughts are you allowing in your mind? So number four, again, as we go through the seven steps to becoming a happy person others want to trust and be around, number four is to shift your identity.
Excellent,
you
yeah.
Do that, you declare yourself, oh, I think I just said that one, I'm sorry. Number five, greet others with a smile. And again,
okay.
It just gets back to the idea of we do affect. We have a powerful opportunity with other people to affect their day either positively or negatively. And so greet others with a smile. And it's a physical reaction. Ron Gutman, who's a health expert, says that literally smiling can help reduce the level of stress-enhancing hormones and increase the level of mood-enhancing hormones.
That's amazing. You know, I read somewhere years and years ago on a billboard, and it was true. It takes like 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile. Just think
yeah.
about it. So I love that. Go ahead. Okay, number five is, and then number six is?
Six is catching them doing something right. And this is my thing. So, like I say, I consider myself a positive person, right, for the most part. But if I get in certain situations where, and maybe I have a legitimate issue with somebody, a coworker or something, and I'll tend to always look for the negative in them. But, and I did this the other day even at work. There's a real-life example for me. If you see somebody doing something right or well, compliment them on it. You
right.
know, actually, it's kind of that that principle. And guess what will happen? It gets back to that mood-enhancing endorphin release thing. But when you compliment somebody out loud, you bless them, they're encouraged. Other people are encouraged, and it just creates a better atmosphere, and it's not manipulation, it's influence, and it's contagious.
Wonderful.
Just like it is. You know, and the last one is to speak well of others, and, you know, and again, Michael Hyatt, who wrote this, tweeted this morning, he's the CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, and he's saying that by saying speaking well of others, he's not saying you shouldn't deal with bad behavior by confronting it. Obviously, you need to do that. But in terms of your overall thought process and speaking to other people who aren't a part of the problem or part of the solution, you know, we find ourselves just bad-mouthing other human beings, and it's so easy to slip into.
It's quite ugly, isn't it? You know, I always feel like when people are large and loving life and successful, they talk about things that are interesting and enter their life or what they're into or the world or something they're learning. But when people think small-minded, they're always talking about other people. You can always tell the difference, you know? When you hear people just talking away and sometimes sitting in a restaurant, I'm not trying to eavesdrop, but it's so obvious you can hear the table next to you.
Yeah.
Talking away about, complaining about this one, and I almost want to go, I got to move my seat. I don't want to listen to this. It just sounds so negative, you know?
Yeah.
But I love what you're saying. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's just something that we've got to work on, and even those of us who can consider ourselves positive. And another thing Wayne Dyer said last weekend that was interesting, he's talking about, you know, obviously, in our lives, you know, the things and the dreams and the this and the that that we have, a lot of the times these things are blocked because of our negative feelings toward other people. And he kind of made the statement, which seemed a little wacky, but I thought about it, and it kind of applies here. He says, you know, you can't really be free to be all you can be and connect with your dreams if you still hold ill will towards somebody on this planet. And I know for you right now, that's a particularly difficult.
Well, no, you know, it's funny you say that because I'm always such a positive person, and going through grief, which grief is really, really heavy, and grief can cause disease. Grief is really like makes you feel ill. I mean, grief is horrible, and everybody deals with it in different ways. And I've noticed with me, people that know me and friends of mine that know me are like, hey, you're okay now? You're all right? It's okay? Because they're so not used to seeing me be so distraught or upset. You know, they're so used to me having the higher level energy, and there's some horrible stuff going on with the you know, we won't go there right now, but and it does, you have to sit there and go, I got to let it go. But for me, like with my brother, I'm like, oh, he was getting attached to that stuff, and he's not here because of it too. You know, it didn't help, you know? Did that just beep us out?
No.
Randy? Oh, I thought I heard a beep. I thought we went out. So, no, I totally hear you and get it. And it's a very, you know, we can either see the glass half full or half empty. And, yeah, it's really amazing.
Eleanor Roosevelt, another thing that kind of applies here. And it's interesting when I'm on a, I think it, when God's trying to teach me something, I get it from all directions. It might be the book I'm reading, the TV show, the this, the that. I just get it from everywhere. But Eleanor Roosevelt, quote the other day that I read of hers, really applies to this too, talking about people and how we don't want to be negative toward people. She said, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people.
That's what I was just saying,
Yeah, it's really true.
It's really true, and it's, you know, you can feel the difference when you're used to high energy versus the lower energy, and it's just very uncomfortable. It's very, like, it's not good, not good at all. Well, it's just kind of like when you liken it to, if you go into a restaurant and you expect the waiter, waitress or waiter to be upbeat and, hey, how are you? And you want the atmosphere to be wonderful. And, you know, it's the ambiance and you want to feel good. And how many times would you go back into that restaurant if every time you went to the restaurant, the waiter or waitress just was like very negative to you and really down in the dumps and started complaining about the job and I hate the job and I don't like this person? How much you wouldn't go back, you know, or you would be very uncomfortable. And so I think that's, that's probably, he's right. We have a choice whether we want to be happy or we want to be sad. Of course, we all go through different, you know, times. I mean, there's also a time for sadness sometimes that, you know, you have to go through, but you're right. So it all is about, you know, putting love out there, isn't it? A little bit more love, a little more understanding. And that's something I mentioned on one of our shows, I think, in the beginning, that I had heard at a conference I went to, gosh, I think in the fall, and somebody said, hey, when you walk in the room, you can either be the thermometer or the thermostat. Which do you want to be?
That's good.
Yeah, and I'd much rather be, you know, feel it out and make everyone feel comfortable. So.
Yeah. Rise above. Rise above, you know, the low energy versus high energy, and easier said than done. We all have our highs and lows, but we think it's a journey, and I think, again, getting better each day and comparing ourselves with ourselves and not other people.
But, you know, it is hard. It is hard because, like, I'm going through a big test in my life right now, losing my brother, and it's just god-awful horrible. I'm like, oh, I want this grief to end. And then some people are like, well, everybody takes it. It's up to you to end it. And I'm like, well, I can't just end it. I'm working on it, you know, but it's funny. I was talking to a friend the other day who goes between Hawaii and the mainland, and he was a retired professor, and we were talking about some issues because I was like, I can't believe how some people could be so mean or so whatever or not have consciences. You know how you and I talk about, you know, Timothy 3 in the Bible says in the end times. I mean, we don't know what we're in right now, but people have seared consciences like a hot iron. And he told me something that shocked me, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to think this way because I always want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I love God. I love life, and I always want to feel comfortable and peaceful and of love, not hatred or mean or, you know. And it is very hard. I mean, when you have something happen to somebody you love that shouldn't have happened, you could, oh, my gosh. And I don't feel hatred. I just feel sad because it shouldn't have happened, and I get upset that my brother got hurt in it, you know what I mean, that type of thing. But but the friend said to me about, we were in general, he said, I said, I'm just really, you know, you don't, sometimes you don't know who to trust or whatever. And he said, I was shocked, he said there's like 1 out of 31 people could be psychopaths. Or I'm going, no way, that is like a huge number. He's like, yeah, so if you know, you know, 1,000 people, that's a big large number if 1 out of 31 could be, and really not have a conscious. So me, I'm going, uh-oh, wait a minute. You know how we're building our network, we're building it. You're like, no, there can't be that many people. And so, and I'm like, okay, not going to think about that. You know what I mean? Like, because that's a big number, and I don't know where they get the statistics, and it's yada, 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 but I don't want to live in that world. I want to distance myself away from when, you know, you get in situations where it could be a very dangerous person, right? But that was kind of depressing in a way. You're like, oh, God, you're kidding, right? He said, no, but I still won't refuse to live and look at it that way. I just think you have to set your boundaries, and if somebody doesn't seem right, then kind of stay away, you know, if there's a problem. But, yeah, just I don't know how they come up with some of these statistics. But
I believe it. It's pretty true. And like you say, not to dwell on it, not let fear.
No, because, Randy, we have the choice. It's just like, who wants to watch every bit of news? I mean, you have to keep up on the news. And depending on your line of work, you definitely have to keep up on the news in your industry. But if you literally look at all the news going on around the world day in and day out, you could become very depressed by the end of the day, right? So, so I think we do have to choose and have to choose to be happy. Right. I think this is a wonderful topic, wonderful, wonderful topic, because it's so easy to get into that who struck John or this thing and these opinionated, you know, and wonderful. I love this, what you said today.
Yeah, keep repeating it. I know one of my favorite radio talk show hosts, Dennis Prager. I think you guys were listening to Dennis Prager over on Oahu when I was there back in the day. Your son was.
And
he does the thing every Friday, the last hour of his show called the Happiness Hour. And he basically deals with this topic about how, you know, how we choose it and, you know, how to make yourself. And, you know, and it does involve God. And it does involve self-will. There's a lot of layers, and it's important to talk about weekly. And so the fact that even, you know, in the second half hour of our show, we spend time actually literally doing that, saying, you know, how can you be more fulfilled? Life is about more than, you know, about more than money. Yes, real estate and business are important, and, you know, paying the rent and all that stuff. But, you know, we are just passing through.
And you know, it is really true what you said earlier too. You like will attract like, and if you're upbeat, people want to be with you, and you're going to attract good. You know, and when you see the real negative, you can kind of, you know, sometimes you may have an effect on someone else, and they start being positive because they see how good it feels too. You know, and I agree. I think we have choices. We have lots of choices every day, and. You know, and life is short here, you know, so we really need to feel good about it. And it's, it's very contagious when you're happy, very contagious.
Yeah.
I love that, Randy.
It's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I think we about wrapped it up again for today, and it's been amazing. We continue to pray for you and, you know, your family and, you know, we send our love towards
you. I pray for
you
guys, too.
If you're listening, again, folks, our website is realtyuniversal.com, and we're on Twitter at Realty Universal and Facebook as well at Realty Universal Radio. So we'd love to connect with you guys and send us your answers, questions, real estate or life. We'd love to be on this journey with you together.
And I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to realtyuniversal.com. Make it a great day.